Please join me in the call to worship. This is the day the Lord has made. What a great day, this Easter day. Christ the Lord is risen. Lift up your hearts, people of God. God is making all things new. Alleluia.
He is making all things new. Alleluia. Alleluia.
And alleluia. We welcome you to this service of worship, Easter Sunday. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. I saw Herb Lohr at Southern Lunch this week, and Herb came up to me and said, "You getting ready for a big day Sunday?" I said, "Herb, if we're not going to have a big day Sunday, we're never going to have a big day. This is the big day. This is the greatest day of the year, the very heart of who we are, what we believe, and what we proclaim. Christ is risen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the very heart of the gospel message. And it is a joy to welcome you today to this time of worship. I hope all of our children have Alleluia bells. If you don't, our ushers have more bells in the vestibule. Children, you know that whenever you hear the word Alleluia, you ring the bell. If you hear the word Jesus, you can ring the bell. If you hear the word holy, anytime you want to, you ring the bell. Because today is a day of rejoicing and a day of celebration. And it's so good to welcome you to First Baptist Church of Lexington. Looking around the sanctuary, we have many visitors. Many of you have come to be with family for this Easter holiday, and we welcome you to this time of worship. And we also welcome so many of you who are listening to this service on the radio, on WLXN 1440 or 99.9. Some of you are tuning in on our website. And for all of you who are participating in this time of worship, we extend to you a cordial greeting. And we pray that in this time of worship, that we will experience the risen Christ. For Christ is risen, alleluia. He is risen indeed. I invite you to stand and take your hymnals as we sing together number 235, Christ Arose.
Good morning. Our first scripture this morning is from Psalms 118, 1 through 4, and 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. The Lord is my strength and song, and is become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of the righteousness. I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord enter into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is from Luke, verses 1 through 12. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And away they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was yet in Galilee? Saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things until the 11th and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering himself at that which was come to pass. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
As we come to a time of prayer, may we share in our prayer of confession. Holy God, by your power and grace, you raised Christ Jesus from death, giving us the incredible gift of new life.
Forgive us, O Lord, for the things that we still held captive by sin and death.
Raise us up by your Spirit to live as your resurrected people. Let us pray. God, today is Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, and we gather to celebrate life. It seems, O God, that words are often inadequate for this day. Images are much better. There's an image of an empty tomb, folded grave clothes, Mary in the garden, Jesus asking her why she is weeping. Forgive us, O God, for our disbelief, for seeing an empty tomb and thinking a cruel trick, for discovering a discarded burial cloth yet still holding to death, for hearing words of life but keeping them to ourselves. Restore us to your glory even in our times of unbelief. For God, you are the giver of new life. We come with our alleluias, our flowers, our bells, and yes, our trumpets and our songs. We come to worship in the beauty and the truth of this moment. For we have a faith that tells us that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and we can have hope that resurrection will enter into each of our lives and transform them, and we too will be made new. Accept, O God, our worship and our very lives as we strive to live as resurrected people. Bring Easter to our lives this day, and may we reign triumphant with you now and forever. Amen. Christ has died, but death does not have the final word. Easter begins for us when Christ calls us by name.
Let us pray. Dear God, we gather today to celebrate the greatest day in history, the day when your Son defeated death and revealed to us the gift of eternal life. The empty tomb has delivered us from our sin and set us free from our burdens. Hope has overshadowed fear. Comfort has replaced distress. Faith has gained victory over doubt. We've been forgiven. God, we thank you that Jesus' love and salvation are for all people, and we pray that these offerings will give voice to that love. So please accept our gifts today as we remember your Easter promise, saving grace to all who hear, Christ the Lord is risen. Alleluia and amen.
Christ is risen. Alleluia. Keep those bells ready, kids. Back in 1939, President Franklin Roosevelt ordered that a group of trees be cut in downtown Washington. He wanted a clear line of sight between the White House and the newly constructed Jefferson Memorial. FDR said he wanted every president to be able to look out the window of the White House and to see Thomas Jefferson and to be reminded of the lofty principles of liberty that he proclaimed. I think one of the most inspirational places in Washington, D.C. is the Jefferson Memorial. And in June, a number of our young people, including Ethan, who led our call to worship today, a group of youth and adults will go to Washington on a religious liberty trip, and we will stand in the impressive rotunda of the Jefferson Memorial, and we will see the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal." We will see the words of Thomas Jefferson, "Almighty God hath created the mind free." We will see the words of our third president who said, "God who gave us life gave us liberty." There is no question that Thomas Jefferson had a profound impact on the American dream and our concept of liberty and freedom and justice for all. Jefferson was a brilliant man. He was a great intellectual. He spoke 5 different languages. Can you imagine that? That's 5 more than most of us speak well. Jefferson was a product of the Enlightenment. Even in his own day, he was known as a Renaissance man. And of course, he shaped the American dream through his writings, through his influence, and through his great intellect. But what you may not know is that Thomas Jefferson was a great student of the Bible. In fact, we learned in our Bible study last fall on Messianic prophecy that Thomas Jefferson was greatly influenced by the man the prophet Isaiah called the Messiah, Cyrus the Great, the benevolent Persian emperor, one of the world's first human rights activists, the man who in the 5th century BC believed in religious tolerance and religious freedom. It was Cyrus the Great, who was the emperor of Persia, who liberated God's people from Babylon, who allowed them to go back to their home, to the promised land, and who rebuilt the temple, and who provided the funding to rebuild the temple. As we said in our Bible study, Cyrus the Great did not know God. He did not know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but God knew him, and God used him in a mighty way. Thomas Jefferson, who was, of course, in the Enlightenment, the Renaissance man, read the classics. He had 2 copies of a book that was written by the Greek philosopher Xenophon called Cyropaedia. One copy today is in the Smithsonian. The other is in the National Archives. The copies are in Greek. It was Cyrus the Great who expressed this doctrine of religious tolerance and religious liberty, and no doubt influenced Thomas Jefferson and the other founding fathers in a mighty way. Jefferson could not only read Cyropaedia in the Greek, but he read the New Testament in the Greek. It was Thomas Jefferson who called the teachings of Jesus the most sublime and benevolent code of morals that has ever been offered to man. But let me tell you what Jefferson did. One night, he literally took a pair of scissors And he started cutting everything out of the Gospels that he did not agree with. He cut out the things that he could not rationalize with his scientific mind. The result is what we know today as the Jefferson Bible. And I have a copy, okay? Thank you. I have a copy of the Jefferson Bible. In this Bible, there are no miracles. There are no angels announcing the birth of Jesus. There's no feeding of the 5,000. There's no spirit who leads Jesus into the wilderness. There's no raising Lazarus from the dead. Let me read the ending of the Jefferson Bible to you. This is the way the story of Jesus ends, according to Thomas Jefferson. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the manner of the Jews to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, there was a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus. And they rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. The end. Thomas Jefferson did not believe that there was a resurrection. He did not believe, Brannon, what you expressed in your prayer, that Easter Sunday was the greatest day in human history. Jefferson didn't agree with that, because Jefferson could not rationalize something that defied logic and reason and order. Anybody who would believe in the resurrection, according to Thomas Jefferson, would simply be delirious. Which, interestingly, is exactly what the disciples said about the women who came and told them the news in that 24th chapter of Luke that Kathy read a few minutes ago. The women came and they told the disciples, listen, you're not going to believe what happened. We went into the tomb. Jesus isn't there. There's no body there. There were these two angels. Now notice Luke has two angels. Everybody else only has one. But Luke has two angels. And they said, why do you seek the living among the dead? And they said, remember what he told you in Galilee. And when they went and told the disciples, well, Kathy read out of the King James, it said the disciples did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like an idle tale. Same thing in the RSV. You might have a modern translation that says it seemed to them like nonsense or sheer imagination. The truth is, all of the English translations are too kind. The word in Greek is leros. That is the root of the word delirious. The disciples thought the women had lost their everlasting mind. They thought they were nuts. That they had just simply lost it, that they were delusional, that they were delirious. But I want us to go back. I want us to go back. What did the angel tell them? The angel said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Remember what he told you back in Galilee. Well, what did Jesus tell them in Galilee? Well, let me tell you what he told them. In fact, I'll read it to you. Go to the Gospel of Mark, 8th chapter of the Gospel of Mark. Jesus had taken the disciples up to Caesarea Philippi. Now this is when he asked the disciples, you know, what are people saying about me? Who do people say that I am? And then he said, who do you say that I am? And remember Simon Peter? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. That's exactly right, Simon Peter. Now, if you read on down, he messed up after that, but he got the answer right. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. But then I want you to read what Jesus told them. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, that he would be rejected by the elders and the chief priest. Now listen to this, that he would be killed, and on the third day, he would rise again. And then it said, he told them this plainly. He said, guys, we're going to Jerusalem, and it's not going to be good. I'm going to get arrested. In fact, I'm going to be executed. But after 3 days, I'm going to rise again. And then Mark says, he said this plainly. He wasn't speaking in riddles. That's one time. If you look over in the 9th chapter of Mark, after the transfiguration, when they come back down from the mountain, this is what Jesus says a second time. He said, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him. But after 3 days, he will rise again. That's two times he said it. And then, just to make sure they understood, when they started to Jerusalem in the 10th chapter of Mark, Jesus said, the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests. They will condemn him to death. They will deliver him to the Gentiles. They will mock him. They will spit upon him. They will scourge him. They will kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again. He told them this plainly, clearly, unequivocally, three times. So here's my question. If Jesus told the disciples three times, hey guys, after the third day, I'm going to rise again, then why weren't they camped out at the tomb? Come on now, what part of this don't you understand? Don't you think they would have been there to witness the greatest day in human history? But not only were they not there, but when the women came, they said they were delirious. But let's not be too hard on the disciples. What about us? And we've heard about resurrection our whole life, haven't we? Everybody knew coming to church today, we were going to talk about resurrection. Everybody knew we were going to have hallelujah bells. Well, let me tell you this great story. I don't know exactly when we started the hallelujah bells. Paul, it was when Jean Davis was here. Maybe, I think she said she was recycled 4 or 5 times. I think this was the second recycling. So Jean came up with the idea of the hallelujah bells, and she said, we need to get those for the kids. And I said, well, wonder where you go buy hallelujah bells. I mean, they're not in Walmart. I mean, where do you buy hallelujah bells? Well, Joyce and I went all over Winston and all over Greensboro. And we found a few here and a few there. But you just don't walk into a store saying, excuse me, could you show me your hallelujah bells? And one day, Joyce said, you reckon Foxes will have them? You know, Foxes discount. Guess what? We walk in, there are hallelujah bells at Foxes. And not only that, my good friend Jimmy at Foxes, he said, listen, I'll order the bells for you. You don't have to worry, give you a discount. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. But of course, I had to remember to go and tell Jimmy it was time to order the bells. And one year I really messed up. I did like 2 weeks before Easter. I go, oh my goodness. And I told Jimmy and he ordered them, and like 2 days before Easter we get them. So this year I said, I'm going to go early. So it's like late January, early February. I'm going to the hospital one day. I go beside Fox's, and I stop, and I go in, and I said, I need to order the Alleluia bells. They said, oh, we've already got them, and they pulled them out. Now, let me tell you, that's knowing, that's predictability, that's believing that we're going to celebrate the resurrection. But it's one thing to celebrate. It's one thing to sing. It's one thing to show up at church on Easter Sunday. But do we believe it? Do we believe it when the bottom falls out? Do we believe it when we are facing this illness? Do we believe it when we're left traumatized? Do we believe it when we have been fired? Do we believe it when the doctor says there is no hope and we're paralyzed in grief and despair? It's one thing to say we believe in resurrection. It's another thing to really, really, really believe it. Thomas Jefferson didn't believe it because he said it was delirious. The disciples didn't believe it because they said it was delirious. I'll tell you what is delirious. A suicide bomber in a crowded airport terminal in Brussels. Now, that's delirious. A gunman who opens fire in a Wednesday night Bible study in Charleston, South Carolina. Now, that is delirious. Thousands of young girls who were held against their will, who were sold into human trafficking in this nation and this state. Do you know that human trafficking has become a multi-billion dollar industry, second only to illegal drugs? That's delirious. 1,500 children being investigated for child abuse or neglect in Davidson County, North Carolina. Did you hear that? 1,500 children a year who are investigated by the Department of Social Services. That doesn't include all of the kids that are being abused and neglected and are never reported. That's delirious. 28% of the children in Davidson County who, according to the latest statistics, experience food insecurity. Did you hear that? 28%. That's delirious. A senior adult who has to choose between filling their prescription or having food to eat. That's delirious. A young father having to say goodbye to his young children because he's dying of cancer. That's delirious. We live in a delirious world. We live in a world of pain and suffering, of evil and violence, inequity. But God has a response to the leros of this world. God has a response to the delirium of this world. The word in Greek is lutru, to set free, to deliver. In a world that is delirious, God sends his son to provide deliverance and hope. And you tell me that's deliverance? That's delirious? You tell me that's delirious when light comes into darkness, when hope comes into despair, when redemption emerges from our failure? To a delirious world that is spinning more and more out of control, God breaks the bonds of death and destruction. He conquers evil and hatred and despair through the transformation of death into life. And so what shall we say then to those who are intent in this world on inflicting violence and destruction, to those who are obsessed with hatred and evil, to those whose vile and vitriolic ways destroy the innocence of children? What shall we say to sickness and disease and suffering and death? Christ is risen. He has risen indeed. Alleluia. That's the response. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can I hear an alleluia? Alleluia! Praise the risen Lord. Amen. How wonderful it is to be in God's house to celebrate the resurrection today. I want to say a special thank you to all of our musicians, to our visiting members of the brass. You guys are outstanding. Can you come back next Sunday? And to all of you who have made this great collection of saints as we gather to witness this occasion. Can you come back next Sunday? Every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank you for being here, for being a part of this service. And I pray that we will go forth in the power of the resurrection, believing that it is through the presence of the risen Christ that we can conquer anything that this old world throws at us. And I pray that for you and your family, this would be a very safe holiday and you'd have a joyous time being together. Let me invite you now to stand as our choir will lead us in our powerful benediction.